either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com. Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with the month of Rabiul Awwal. The Hijri year is 1440. In the month of Rabiul Awwal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed all of insaniyat, humanity, with the nur, the light, that Allah's entire creation was waiting for. That is the coming of our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birth, mentioned by the scholars, the tariq, the date, majority of the scholars have mentioned it is the 8th of Rabiul Awwal. During the early hours of the morning, and the day is Yawmul Ithnain, Monday. Inshallah, in our session tonight, my intention is to cover two very important aspects of the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That way, inshallah, what will happen is that we will understand the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to first understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. What is the reason for a Nabi to come? What is the reason for Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam for them to come in this dunya? What is the purpose? What is the maqsad? That inshallah in our session tonight we will look into that and cover that. And then the second thing we will look at is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin? Why is he the last Nabi? Again, this is something also very important for us to understand. So I'm going to ask the brothers, inshallah, that please give me your attention. Our maqsad is not wahwa in a taqreer, in a speech. Our maqsad and purpose is not the glitter and lights during the month of Ramadan. Our maqsad and our purpose is something which is very, very serious. And so inshallah, if you give me your attention, what I will do is try to explain to you in simple words, in a very simplified way. What is the purpose for Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam to come? What is the purpose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come in this dunya? So that we understand the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For us to understand this, we first need to look into who this insan is. What is the definition of insan, a human being? Now, a simple understanding of a human being is that there are two parts to a human being. One is the physical side of a human being, which we call the body, insan ka jism. And the other side of the human is what we call the ruh, the soul, the spiritual side of this human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given both of these blessings, the body and the ruh. And we all have the responsibility to look after the body and also the ruh. In order for us to understand why a Nabi comes in this dunya, understand this. That is why, my respected brothers, to look after this body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken everything out for insan. Food, sustenance generally, from this earth. Why? Because insan, his body is also made from this earthly material. Mitti ka bana hua. And his body is made of this earthly material, and to give it strength and energy, the source is also earthly material. So sometimes, directly or indirectly, everything what we are eating is actually connected to this earth. And if you don't eat, if you don't look after your body, eventually a person will die. So he has to look after the body, the physique, the body that Allah Pak has given him. So this is one side of a human being. And alhamdulillah, generally this is something that is well understood, that we need to look after this body. The second part is that we need to make sure that how we look after the body, we also look after the ruh. So the ruh needs to be alive also. Now, for us to make sure that the ruh is alive, what food can we give this ruh? Barbecue chicken? No. Grill food? No. Chal dawal? Chal dal? Whatever. Akni? What food? To keep this ruh strong. Understand, Allah says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, that this ruh is the divine and heavenly creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the creation of Allah, and nobody has the knowledge of this except for Allah. Now, in order to look after this ruh, to make sure that this ruh is alive, and food is given to this ruh, energy is given to this ruh, the sustenance should also be heavenly. The food should also be from the heavens. You can't find anything that you can give in this dunya that will strengthen your ruh. The food for the ruh, the soul, has to be from the heavens, because ruh comes from the heavens. Understand this. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, that from Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, generally every Nabi was blessed with revelation. Every Nabi was blessed with revelation. Of course, we know of the four famous scriptures, but ulama have mentioned many books were revealed. Many laws were given to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And it is this revelation that comes down from the heavens and it is given to the Nabi, and then that Nabi gives to humanity at large, this revelation is food for the ruh. This revelation is food for the ruh. That is why if you want to keep your soul alive, the Quran is the food. Quran is the food. In simple words, the more you pray the Quran, the more you understand the Quran, the more you recite the Quran, the stronger your ruh becomes. Because that is the food for the ruh. That is why ulama have mentioned that there are many people in this dunya, even before the death of the body, their death has come because the soul is dead. Because their soul is dead. And when the soul is dead, when the ruh is dead, their only concern becomes to look after the body. To look after the body. They will make Maghrib namaz qaza, they will make Isha namaz qaza. They won't pray because they are at the gym making the body strong. They are making the body strong. But what about the ruh? What about the ruh? They can go to the gym 7 times every day. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, 7 days every day they are going to the gym. But they can't come to listen to the Quran and the lecture once in a week. They can't come and listen to the lecture once in a week. The ruh is very, very weak. The ruh is ill. The ruh is ill. So many people, oh, there is pain on my left side, this side, that side, bichara, they are in the hospital. But we don't realize that even before being hospitalized, this person's ruh is nearly dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now, one of the reasons I have explained why a Nabi comes in this dunya, my young friends, we need to understand this, because this is what protects our iman in this modern era. Where you have people who are attacking us left, right and center. Let us get the basics right. Let us understand our foundation. So our iman is salim and that we are content. Subhanallah. The first reason why a Nabi comes to make sure that the ruh of insaniyat is maintained and they are still alive. And the ruh can be strong by the revelation that comes to them, and then that revelation is distributed. That revelation is distributed. That is why to become a hafiz of the Quran is great honor. Why? One of the names of the Quran is ruh. One of the names of the Quran is ruh. One of the names given to Jibreel Amin is also Ruh. Ruh. One of the names. And so to be a hafiz of the Quran is such an honor, provided you are a hafiz of the Quran. Not a person who, Allah save us, forgets the Quran, does not read the Quran. Because if you're hafiz of the Quran, it means that you have the complete foundation, this entire, what we will say, a factory that keeps the whole of humanity alive, that is just inside you. The whole of the Quran is inside you. That is why our ulama say, there is no other greater profession in this world, there is no honor greater than that person. خَيْرُكُمْ The best of the best is that, Man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allamahu. Two people. The one who is there learning the Qur'an and the one who has mastered the Qur'an. The one who is learning the Qur'an and the one who has mastered the Qur'an. They are the best of the best. That is why a hafiz of the Qur'an should not feel, oh, who am I? No, no. The father should be very proud, very proud. If his children are Hafiz of the Quran, it is something to be proud of. You should not just say, you know, my son is a judge and this and that of dunya. Alhamdulillah, you know, if he is, Allah bless all the Muslims. But also a Hafiz is great honor. Hafiz is a great honor. One of the reasons a Nabi comes is to make sure that this Ruh is alive. And that Ruh is kept alive for this Ummah via the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. Baat samajh mein aaya? This is one reason. How many reasons? One reason. We are talking about the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Generally, for us to understand why all of the prophets came in this dunya, what is the purpose? So the one purpose is to make sure that our soul is alive. It is one, subhanallah, venue, should I say, a place where a person can go and make sure that his connection and his soul is connected to that revelation for him to remain alive. That is why when a person is not a Muslim, when a person is not a Muslim, then when he recites the kalima with sincerity, then the angels, the malaika, look into the heart that how sincere is this person. And when they see the sincerity of this brother who is accepting Islam, immediately the wiring of his iman is connected with the Quran. So now he was dead, but now Allah gave him life. Allah gave him life. Subhanallah al-Azim. So imagine how fortunate we are that Allah has given us life. The body is alive and the ruh is alive. Allah keep it that way. Okay. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and khususiyat ke saath the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the most important missions of a Nabi, one of the most important missions of a Nabi is to explain to humanity how they can please Allah Pak. How they can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy? This only comes through the channel of a Nabi. Despite the fact some of you might be saying that Allah has given us the aqal. Allah has given us the aqal, no doubt. Allah has given us the aqal. The aqal is the intellect. The intellect and the aqal can open the doors for you. And it can answer many of your questions. But it cannot tell you and define for you exactly what will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. How you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This only comes through the Nabi. This only comes through the Nabi. Now let me give you a few examples, my respected brothers. There are so many religions in this world. So many religions. Of course, we know of the major religions. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, and Hinduism, and all the other religions that there are. But if you do your research, it tells you there are as many as 4,200 religions. How many? 4,200 religions. So there are so many religions in this world. That means that all the people of all the religions, they have their own methodology of worshipping. They have their own methodology of worshipping. Say ya galat. If somebody asks you, how does a Muslim worship? The first thing we do is we explain to them, there are three important postures, qiyam, ruku and sujood. That is how we worship Allah Pak. That is how we pray salah. Now everyone is worshipping in their own way. Everybody is worshipping. And if you ask everyone, what is the purpose of you worshipping? Now, just a few days ago, my neighbor. So this old lady, she came out of the house, and after Fajr I was parking the car, and when the sun was rising, this old lady comes out and she is touching the ground like how we would do tayammum. How we would do tayammum. And then she is praying to the sun and doing all sorts. Allahu Akbar. And I looked at her and I says, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, how can I thank you? That Ya Allah, you gave us the tawfiq that we prayed Fajr namaz. The very same human being who is my immediate neighbor, is worshipping the sun. So what I'm saying, if you ask even this lady, if you ask everybody, go to every place of worship, that how you people are worshipping, what is the purpose of worshipping? And they will tell you that we are worshipping to make God happy. In simple words, what are we doing? We are worshipping to make who happy? God happy. Now, the truth is, my respected brothers, that it is by the aql that all of these groups, say 4,200 religions that are out there, everyone from their own mind, from their own aql, from their own understanding, from what they have received from the past, whatever, they have their understanding that this is how we should worship. This is how we should worship. In reality, the truth is, can you imagine? For hundreds of years, you have been worshipping your generation, the generation that comes after you, before you, all of your grandparents. If all of that worshipping is not in accordance to the way the Nabi has shown, then it is a waste of time. What is it? Then it is a waste of time. Complete waste of time. That is why a Nabi comes in this dunya, that the only way for a person to understand how you can please Allah Pak is not by your aql, by your intellect, but by the way shown by Rasul sallallahu alayhi, by Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam. That is why there was one sahabi who sneezed. And he said, Yarhamukallah. And then thereafter he said, Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Something to this effect. A sahabi Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said to him, that look, these are not the words that you should utter. At this time, Salatu wassalam should not be read because it was not taught by the Nabi. It was not taught by the Nabi of the time. This was not taught. So this is something very, very important for us to understand. Everybody says, oh, you know, we all worship one God. No, that is not the case. For you to be successful, your worship should only be in accordance to the revelation, the wahi that is given at that time. Otherwise it is not accepted. And the calamity and the tragedy is, never mind the methodology of worshipping, you are not even worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for an example, how this aql can play with your mind, if you look at Hinduism, do you know how many gods there are in Hinduism, Shabir bhai? Thousand. Actually, 33 million gods. How many? 33 million gods. I actually checked this out because, you know, somebody might question me, where did you get that from? And 33 million gods. Can you imagine? If you are going to use your aql. So there is a group of people in India who say that the urine of the cow is sacred. What is the aql telling them? Now you can buy it in Leicester. Now you can buy it in Leicester. In bottles they are sold. Yes, in Leicester you can buy it. So urine is sacred. That is the akal. That is what the akal is telling you. That is when you move away from the Nabi. Why does a Nabi come in this dunya? The Nabi helps you and he guides you how you can make Allah happy, how to please Allah. Like if you want to know how to drive a car, you have an instructor. That instructor tells you, Tumhari manmani mat karo. You listen to me what I tell you. You listen to me. If you want the license, you listen to me. A Nabi says, if you want Jannat, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't listen to anybody else. Because if you listen to somebody else, you'll get into problems. There are people who say you can't eat beef because beef is our God, our mother. And anybody found eating beef can be killed. There are people who get slaughtered and killed. Allahu Akbar. You see the mindset, my respected brothers. If you have a look in this very, in our country here in England, until what was it? 1961. Gambling was illegal. What was it? Gambling was illegal. You had good morals. Very good morals. One brother who is sitting in our audience told me that, you know, when I used to go to school, subhanallah, it was a Christian school. But mashallah, they would uphold good ethics and good morals. And even the ladies that come, they had to wear the full sleeve and the full covering and no skirts were allowed. But now, the akal is telling you something else. What is the akal telling you? The akal is changing everything slowly. Everything is different. And then, after 61, within the first 6 months, 10,000 betting shops were opened up in UK. Subhanallah. The akal is telling you something else. You go to any society, any faith, they will tell you, pre-marital relationship, fornication, adultery, whatever, is not right. But today, adultery is a walk in the park. Having a relationship doing zina is a walk in the park. If two people consent to one another, both are over 18, nobody can do nothing. It's not, you know, the law can't do nothing. I like this person likes me, so that's it. This is your akal. So a Nabi comes in this dunya that don't follow your akal. If you want Allah to be happy, who do you follow? The wahi. Now, there is this very famous poet in India. His name is Kabir Das. What is his name? Kabir Das. He's an Indian poet. So Kabir Das said that the Muslims of India are doing something which I consider to be haram. That he considers to be haram. And he said that Muslims allow their children to marry the first cousins. So a Muslim boy can marry chacha ki larki, you know, uncle's daughter, mama's daughter, kaka's daughter, phupi, chachi, whatever. Your first cousins. So now this Kabir Das, who has a massive following, a famous poet of India, his akal is telling him that it should be haram for the Muslims to marry their first cousins in India. And he also, in his poetry, which I wanted to write, but it would be too long, he actually said in his poetry that because they eat meat and chicken, you know, because of that, their minds have also become like that and they want to get married to their first cousins. And then you have another Hindu person who's got a big ashram in Pune, whose name is Achara Rajneesh. Achara Rajneesh. He came up with another idea. Again, a Hindu man with a big following. He says that a man should be free to marry any woman. He is allowed to marry the mother. He should be allowed to marry the sister. He should be allowed to marry the daughter. And the akal, the reasoning he gives, he says, so what? A woman is a woman, and if he likes a woman, so be it. If he is happy with that woman, let him live with that woman. So he says that this is wrong for a person to say you can't marry, incest basically. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now look at this, my respected brothers. If hidayat and to please Allah was upon the intellect of a person, where would a human being go today? Where would a human being go today? Look at how they tamper and play and make a mockery out of their own religion. And so one is saying you can't marry to your first cousins, and another person is saying that you should marry, you can marry any woman basically that you want. Any woman. And that is why the Quran comes in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in Surah An-Nisa the category of the women that are halal for you and the women that are haram for you. That is why a Nabi comes, my respected brothers. That is why it is so important that we remain firm upon our iman. Don't let this dunya shake your iman. Don't be affected by what you hear and what people speak and the lectures that other people give. Be strong. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a believer is like the date tree. A believer is like the date tree. Why did he say like a date tree? Because the date tree's roots go deep, deep down in the ground. Why? Because in the desert, you won't find water up, but you have to go right down to find water. So the roots of the date tree is deep down. Allah's Nabi is saying, your iman should be like the khajur tree. Your iman should be like the khajur tree, unshakable. Whatever Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling you, we should not be influenced by what people are telling us. This is something very, very important. That is why our ulama have mentioned, in matters of halal and haram, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. So somebody might say, what's wrong with pork? There's nothing wrong with pork. Eat pork. No, no, no. You can't. In matters of halal and haram, we don't have a choice. In matters what are farz, wajib, and sunan in Islam, we don't have a choice. In other things of this dunya, we have a choice. So for an example, something that does not harm you in akhirat, that does not harm you in akhirat, that is fine. Then you can have your choice. There is no issue of that. But otherwise, for a person, it is important that he needs to be connected to that Nabi. So the Nabi tells you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy. How you can make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So if you have a look at the Quran only explains the mandate. The Quran says read namaz. The Quran doesn't tell you, you know, in Maghrib there is 3 rakats, in Isha there is 4, witr, doesn't tell you. The Quran says do hajj. The Quran doesn't tell you that, you know, Qiran you perform like this, Tamattu you perform like this, Arafat you do this, you do that. No. Doesn't give you that detail. The Quran tells you give zakat. The Quran doesn't tell you that when zakat is farz on you. The Quran tells you that give adhan. It doesn't tell you that the words of adhan are this. So you will find for all of that, you have to now go back to the Nabi. Where do you go back to? To the Nabi, and that Nabi tells you what is right and what is wrong. Now if we can understand that, my respected brothers and elders, mashallah, you will see that our iman will become very, very solid. Now there is this sickness and disease in our community. There is this sickness and disease in our community. And that is, unfortunately, we like to pick and choose everything. The Islam that we can practice, we like that. But something that Islam says no to, but we like it. Our brain, akal, is saying it's, you know, I'm enjoying this. Then we will follow that. So much so, Allah save us, that we will be influenced by other people, what they are telling us, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. This sickness that I will only believe if my brain can register this. If my brain can register this. Allahu Akbar. Allah save us. That is why 124,000 Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam came in this dunya. So that Allah Pak is saying, I am taking the total responsibility out from you, making it easy for you. All you do is follow the Nabi. All you do is follow the, you don't have to invent the wheel. You just follow the Nabi bas. Tumhare upar koi dosh nahi hai, no blame. There is no blame for you. All you do is follow the Nabi, finished. Your life is easy. Whatever your Nabi tells you. Somebody says, you know what, I'm sure nobody dare do that. You know what, I want 6 wives. How many wives do you want? 6 wives. Now can you have 6 wives? What is the maximum you can have? 4. Why? This is the hukam of Allah. You can only have 4. You cannot break the law. You cannot break the law of Sharia. Whether you understand, whether you don't understand, a Muslim is that person who will obey. And one of the great sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that you listen to the Nabi and you say, Sami'na wa atana, we listen and we obey. Now I'll give you an example that there is a child that comes to the house and he was playing outside and his body is dirty, clothes are dirty and there's mud all around him. The mother grabs him, takes him to the bath and there it, the mother scrubbing the child and washing him and in washing the child is also crying and screaming because he doesn't want the mother to wash him. So the mother now is scrubbing him hard and the child is crying. So now somebody sitting outside will say, my Fatma Bai is so ruthless. What will he say? Fatma Bai is so ruthless the way she is treating her own child. Itna peet rahi hai apne bachche ko. Look how she is treating the child. So Fatma Bai is what? Ruthless. But can he see? Does he know what is the truth? He doesn't know. But then when the child comes out and then he's speaking with the third person that, you know, this is what Fatma Bai was doing, the mother to the son, then it is clarified, no, the mother was cleaning and giving bath to the child because the child was dirty, he had mud everywhere. That is why the child was crying. Now the picture is clear. Now the picture is clear. Your akal also is deficient. My brothers, look, if I can see only to a distance, my eyesight is deficient. I can't see what is happening in Victoria Park. Like how my eye is limited, my ears is limited, the brain, the akal is also limited. So this we need to understand. We need to look after our iman. And we will only look after our iman if we are connected to the Nabi. If we are connected to the Nabi. This is something that is very, very important, my respected brothers and elders. Allah give us the tawfiq. Very quickly to conclude, now we understand why we have to follow a Nabi. Why we have to follow a Nabi. Now, another question is, thak gaye brothers, I know some of you are tired, but let me just finish off my topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you jazai khair, inshallah. Relax. Why is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the last Nabi? Why is he the last Nabi? You'll find that this trick question many a times is put forward to us. You know, you have the Jehovah's that will come to you, the Qadianis that knock on the door, and they'll say to you, they'll begin by saying, all these issues that are happening in the world, the suffering, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, you know what we see in the Middle East, you know, people dying and the suffering, you know, all the tragedies, you know, what do you say? Now, if you say to them, yes, we agree, you know, there's a lot of suffering that is going on in the world, then they might say to you, well, then if there's so much suffering, don't you think it's time that a prophet should come? Don't you think it is time that a prophet should come? Now, understand something. If you are going to answer him in this question, then your answer will always be wrong. Your answer will always be wrong. Understand the usul that the ulama have explained. That when the question is wrong, the answer can never be right. The answer can never be. When the question itself is wrong, whatever you give an answer, it will still be wrong because the whole question is wrong. So now what you have to do is move away from this question, which is a wrong question. What is it? So is there a need for a Nabi to come? Why is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the last Nabi? Very quickly for us to understand. A Nabi would come in this dunya, and then the Nabi was also given a book. The Nabi was also given the book, the scripture. Now, does anybody know why Allah has given this Nabi the book? One reason why also? Anybody? Okay. The book that is given to the Nabi, one of the reasons why a book is given to a Nabi that comes is because previously the revelation that was given to the Nabi in the past, people would fabricate things, interpolate things, and they would change the scriptures. What would they do? They would change the scriptures and they would change the laws. If they wanted to make somebody happy, money would be taken, they would give the wrong fatwa, change the words of God, aliyadhu billah. That is mentioned in the Quran. So then a Nabi would come with the kitab to reinforce the laws that were tampered with. What were they? The laws that were tampered with. So that is why a Nabi would come. That is why a Nabi would come. So there was a reason a Nabi would come, because the laws that were of the past, what these people did is they had changed it. So another Nabi would come and he would make sure, like Jesus when he came. What did he say? He said that I am not here only for Injil, but the Injil given to me is such an Injil that I will also tell you what was given to my brother Musa alayhi salam in Torah. That is why if you look at the Christian Bible, they still have the Old Testament behind the New Testament, because it is connected. Now, there is no need for a new Nabi to come, because the responsibility of looking after the Quran is taken by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scriptures can never be interpolated. It can never be changed. It can never ever be changed. Now when it can never ever be changed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah is saying, it is not the responsibility of you people to look after the Quran. No. It is not the responsibility of the people to look after the Quran. Allah is saying, that responsibility I take. That is why 1450 years have gone past. Nobody can find a single mistake with the Quran. A sin is a long time, isn't it? 1450 years. Not a single mistake in the Quran. Now when you cannot corrupt the Quran, is there a need for another Nabi to come? That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, and no other Nabi can come after him, because like how his sunnah is protected, the kalam that is revealed on him is also protected. We don't need no Qadiani, Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani saying, Aliyazu Billah, that a Nabi comes. Now, in case somebody questions you on that, okay, then why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a book in the beginning, and he would say that this is from the time of Adam alayhi salam, this book that I give, and I am going to protect this book, so that this book will always be the book for all of humanity, all of humanity. Why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes? Why only in the Quran? Now, this is a question. The answer to this question also is answered by the great scholar Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi rahmatullah alayhi. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi. Bas baat khatam kar raha hun, 2 minutes, brothers. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the example I give you people to understand is like how when a human being comes in this dunya, so when a baby is born, the mother will buy a baby grow. The mother will buy a baby grow. 0 to 6 months. What, Umar Farooq?
0 to 6 months.
You are fresh in that? Yes. 0 to 6 months baby grow. So that will fit the baby. And the mother knows that this baby, for me to buy 1,000 pounds of clothes is what? What is it? Wasting money. Because Allah is going to give so much nourishment to this baby that within a few months this baby is now going to grow. Subhanallah. So now from 0 to 6 months, then the baby grows 0 to 6 months does not fit him. So now you go back and you get 0 from 6 to 12 months. How much? 6 to 12 months. Then until 2 years and then until 3 years. Now shoe size, example. So now he's 5, 6 and the child is growing and you are also all the time changing the shoes, the t-shirt, the shirt, the kurta. You go for umrah and then you buy one kurta size and then next year you go, oh, this kurta doesn't fit him. We buy another kurta. And constantly until this child is 20, 21, you see that there is some changes in him. There is some changes in him. Until a time comes that this human being, everybody knows now that there is no changes in him. He won't get 7 foot and he won't shrink to 2 foot, 3 foot. And his shoe size won't go very high also. So basically, you know, what will happen is that generally there is now only one size. What is it? There is no significant changes in this human body. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that when Allah created Adam Alayhi Salam, that was like the growth of the human being. What was it? And there were supposed to be a lot of changes. The environment will change. The places will change. A lot of changes. That is why a Nabi had to come with the laws in accordance to that environment. And the laws had to change. The laws had to change because people were different. People were different. And so this humanity is growing. And with that growing, books were given that had some changes, some changes, some changes, some changes, some changes, until the time for that Nabi came and Allah put that Nabi, the last, like how now a person does not grow and he is one size. Allah's Nabi, now this dunya is balig. This dunya is balig. Now this dunya has reached that stage that nothing significantly will change. Therefore, Allah has given His last Nabi to come, and the last book that will never change. The last book that will never change. So now, this book is a book that is enough, Quran is enough for all of humanity. That is why all of humanity have to accept Islam. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, if you turn away from Islam, you will have no choice but to go to Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So my respected brothers, I've taken your time, but these are things that are so important for us to understand. And it will stabilize our iman. We will understand what is right and what is wrong. We will appreciate the deen that Allah Pak has given us. And this is the seerah. So now when we talk about the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will have everything in the mind that why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and why he is Khatamun Nabiyyin and why everything needs to be referred to a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Kuch muraqaba bhi karna hota hai, but We have taken a lot of time, inshallah ta'ala, maybe in our next session. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, is majlis mein jo log baithe hue hain, thake hue hain, ya Allah, pura din unhone kaam kiya, phir bhi ya Allah, raat ko teri raza ke liye baithe hue hain. Allah kareem unki duniya mein barkat de, Allah inki aulaad mein barkat de, inke khandanon mein barkat de, unki jaanon mein barkat de, unki rooh mein barkat de. اللہ کریم ہمارے ایمان کی تو حفاظت فرما, اللہ کریم ہماری نسلوں کی تو حفاظت فرما, ایمان کی حفاظت فرما, ہم سب کا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما. اللہ کریم بلا حساب کتاب ہمیں جنت میں جگہ دے دے. اللہ کریم فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, اللہ فتنوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ کریم ہماری آنکھوں کی حفاظت فرما, زبان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ کریم ہمارے دل کو تو پاک فرما دے. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.